Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 44. Sakam Vahayasa Vipro Mahapurusha Kinkarai Haimam Vimanam Aruya Yayo Yatra Shriyapati Sakam Vahayasa Vipro Mahapurusha Kinkarai Haimam Vimanam Aruya Yayo Yatra Shriyapati Sakam Vahayasa Vipro Mahapurusha Kinkarai Haimam Vimanam Aruya Yayo Yatra Shriyapati Ladies. Sakam, along, Vahayasa, by the path in the sky, or the airways, Vipra, the Brahmana, Ajamil, Mahapurusha Kinkarai, with the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Haimam, made of gold, Vimanam, an airplane, Aruya, boarding. Yayo, went. Yatra, where. Sriyapati, Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil, boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Purport. For many years, material scientists have tried to go to the moon, but they are still unable to go there. However, the spiritual airplanes from the spiritual planets can take one back home, back to Godhead, in a second. The speed of such a spiritual plane can only be imagined. Spirit is finer than mind, and everyone has experience of how swiftly the mind travels from one place to another. Therefore, one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. In less than a moment, a perfect devotee can return home back to Godhead immediately after giving up his material body. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Te Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharine Nevashesha Sunyavadi Pastaja Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gauda Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So let's see by a show of hands, how many think that if a common, ordinary person was present when this was happening, that, that the Vishnudutas were coming in this spiritual airplane to take Ajamil back to the spiritual world. How many think if a common man was present, that he would have been able to stand there and he would have been able to see the whole thing and wave bye-bye to Ajamil? Bye-bye, Ajamil. Would he have been able to, do you think? I don't know. And if somebody disagrees, please raise their hand and disagree. But the word used here by Prabhupada is vihayasa, and I looked up that word on the Veda base, found is better, maybe a dozen or two references, and one of them, it refers to it as by the mystic skyways. And I think it's referring to, even though it's mentioned that this airplane was made of gold, it was obviously a transcendental airplane. It's a totally spiritual airplane. But this material world is, Prabhupada used to refer to sometimes as a perverted reflection or a shadow of the spiritual world. It's a replica. And even the elements here are replicas of elements in the spiritual world. So despite the fact that this airplane was made of gold, and despite, that Ajamil was being put onto the airplane flying away, I think there's a really good possibility this is something that would not have been able to be perceived by any Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I'm remembering correctly, I think there's a similar pastime to this when Dhruv Maharaj went back. Also, Vaikuntha airplanes came for him. And I think in that purport, Prabhupada explains that this is not something that could be experienced by the gross material senses. Of course, if Krishna's desiring it, when Krishna was present here in the 5,000 years ago, everything about Dwarka, for instance, was entirely spiritual, and people could see that. So I guess it's ultimately up to Krishna's desire, what he's going to allow to be seen or not. But this Vihayasa, anyway, it's referring to a mystical mode of travel. Some other personalities in the Bhagavatam who traveled this way were the four Kumaras. Indra, when he stole the horse, that was meant for the sacrifice. Maharaj Prithu was going to perform all those, wasn't it Ashwamedha Yagyas, and he stole the one that was going to allow him to, would enable him to surpass Indra. And then, so he was traveling. It's also by Vihayasa, mode of travel at that time. Maharaj Prithu's son, who chased after him. Devasa Muni, when he was going, traversing through the material universe, going, trying to get somebody to protect him from this Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra. It's referred to as he was traveling by that mode of travel. And then also it's in the Krishna book, Trinavarta and Palumba. Trinavarta was the demon that took Krishna when he was an infant, and he flew up in the air with him and to try to attempt to kill him. But then Krishna, of course, got so heavy, he forced him to come, falling down to the ground, and Trinavarta got killed like that, and Krishna was okay. And Palumba, the demon that tried to basically kidnap Balaram, it's also described that he was traveling by that mode of travel, Vihayasa. And Prajumna, after he defeated the Sambara demon, he was being transported back to Dwarka by that mode of travel. And lastly, Narada Muni, when he was present, when he went to, I think it was Hastinapur, and he was, he got there just when a messenger was there describing to Lord Krishna, he was bringing a message from the imprisoned kings, the kings that were imprisoned by Jarasandha. And so this messenger was describing to Krishna, reading that message of these kings. And then Narada Muni came, And then Narada Muni was, I can't remember if that messenger was interrupted or anyway, if he just kept speaking, but then Narada Muni made his presentation that Krishna should immediately go to, no, he was in Dwarka, and he should immediately go to Hastinapur. Thank you. He should immediately go to Hastinapur to assist Maharaj Yudhisthira, who wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And then he suggested that. And then Krishna was a little bit, well, he wasn't bewildered. Krishna just, you know, he was being asked to do two different things simultaneously. So he put the ball in Uddhava's court, and he said, actually, Uddhava, you know, you're my very close friend, and we have great respect for your intelligence. You're a disciple of Brihaspati. So what do you think? And Uddhava gave his opinion that actually, in order to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, in one of the prerequisites is you have to subdue all the kings that aren't, you know, everybody has to be prepared to go along with that. All the kings have to be in agreement with that. If there's somebody who's objecting, then you can't really do it. And he says, Jarasandha is obviously, you know, objecting. So before you can, Maharaj Yudhisthira can proceed with the Rajasuya sacrifice, he has to do something about Jarasandha. So that has to happen first. And then, of course, when that, by you know, taking care of Jarasandha, that will automatically take care of the, you know, the problem with the kings. And then, you know, you can go and perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. So, he suggested that. And Krishna, everybody thought that was a very good plan. So they did that. And then Narada described that Narada Muni, he left by the airways. You know, once again, it's the same mode of travel, Vihayasa. So, once again, I've heard a lot about this, but I don't think when somebody's traveling by that mode of travel, like, you know, Devasa Muni or Narada or any of these personalities I mentioned, that you just, you know, like if you were there and they're there and you just all of a sudden see them start going, shoo, you know. I don't know if it's exactly how it works. If you did, I mean, if they started out here in the temple room, if Narada Muni was indoors, it sounds like he was indoors when he went by the airways. So that means, I don't know, what do you do about the walls and the ceilings? Anyway, it's a mystical mode of travel. That's conclusion I've come to. Now, the next point here is, so Prabhupada's talking about here how the how Ajamil, and he got onto this spiritual airplane, and Prabhupada's describing the superiority of the spiritual airplanes, so the spiritual plane to the material airplanes and the material mode of travel, and he's pointing out how the scientists for many years they've been trying to go to the moon, they're still not able to go. So I won't get into that, at least at this point. Maybe at the end, if we have some time, I'll say a few things about that. And basically he's pointing out that the spiritual airplane is very, very travels very, very rapidly and can take one back to Godhead in a second. And it says the speed of such a plane can only be imagined. It says therefore one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. Well, you know, basically I guess the speed of the mind is instantaneous. You know, Prabhupada sometimes he would use that phrase, speed of mind, you know, faster than the speed of wind. And he says, speed of mind. It's instantaneous. I mean, you know, if like, for instance, now if I think of wherever, the moon, that's, I mean, boom, I'm thinking of it. You know, it doesn't take, within a moment or less, your mind can think and change from one subject to the other. So that's the rapidity. That's the speed at which this spiritual airplane can travel, inconceivable, but that's the fact. Now, this is that one is able to travel that rapidly in these spiritual situations. It was confirmed by Prabhupada on another occasion, it's actually right here in Los Angeles in 1974. Prabhupada was giving a class, and he was talking about the same thing, not in relation to airplanes, but just in relation to just he was talking about going back to Godhead. And how quickly it happens, and how quickly it is that a devotee goes back to Godhead when he is going to go back to Godhead. And at least on that occasion, he was making the point that the same thing as the point he made here, that it happens in basically instantaneously, just like, you know, less, you know, just in a moment or less. And I'll read you that reference here. Once again, this was a class Prabhupada gave here in Los Angeles. in 1974. Actually, he almost gave it on this day. He gave it on January 5th, about a week away, in 1974. He said, "Death is stopped as soon as you take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Immediately from that moment, as soon as you are initiated, you promise before the spiritual master, 'Yes, I shall act like this.' And if you follow, then your death is stopped. No more death. No more death. Simply an official business." Notice that, referring to the death. It's like an official business. It's just like you sleep, and again, you awake. A devotee's death is like that. Similarly, a devotee's death is like that. It is like sleeping, and the next moment, you're in the spiritual kingdom. That's what Prabhupada said. The next moment, you're in the spiritual kingdom. Immediately. Immediately. When we rise, we'll see that I'm with Krishna. This is the fact. And he goes on to say, don't fall down. Don't be childish. Yes, I have promised before spiritual master, before Krishna, before fire. All right. That's all right. Let me break. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lose this opportunity. So certainly this is confirming how quickly the soul can be transported from the material world to the spiritual world. Prabhupada says the next moment you're in the spiritual world. But it's, reading this, it leads into another question. Prabhupada's mentioning here, he's saying that the qualification to experience that is that, one has to, from the time they're initiated, and, he says, as soon as you're initiated, you promise before the spiritual master, yes, I shall act like this. And then if you follow, your death is stopped. So in other words, if somebody, after being initiated, follows their initiation vows, then from what I can understand from reading this, they're basically, that's guaranteed that, when they die, right after they die, the next moment they're going to be in the spiritual kingdom. And I've never really heard anything to contradict that. The only thing, I've heard one thing that sort of modifies that a little bit. Prabhupada quotes in the Krishna book, he states, quoting from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that sometimes after a devotee, completes pure devotional service in this lifetime, and then he's transferred to a planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and he gets trained up, and he has one lifetime like that, and then he goes back to Godhead. So I've heard that, which just doesn't really contradict this. That could be the next moment as well. You die here, and then the next moment you're where Krishna's in that planet where Krishna's performing his pastimes, and you have one lifetime where you're going to be trained up, and then you go back to Godhead. Or also, it could be just that you just directly go back to Godhead. But the point is, the interesting point here is, he's saying you have to, when you make those vows, make that promise before the spiritual master, then you have to follow that. And if you do that, you're guaranteed. But if you don't, Prabhupada says here, he says, my question is, what happens if you don't? What happens, what is the situation of a devotee who gets initiated and doesn't perfectly follow those initiation vows? Okay? So before I open it up to discussion, I'm going to read one more thing, and then we can talk about this a little bit. This is an excerpt from this took place actually on March 11th, 1976 in Mayapur. Prabhupada was going on a morning walk with some of his senior sannyasi disciples. And so at that time, one of them raised the question. He wanted to know how a person can attain perfection simply from 1/11th of a second association with a pure devotee. So this is, I'm reading from this book, Transcendental Diary by Hari Sari. It says, Prabhupada stopped and turned to him as we all gathered around. He said that it is like dry wood, which can be ignited immediately. Similarly, if one is sincere, then he immediately becomes spiritually ignited. And if he is still moist from material contact, it may take hundreds of years or lifetimes. The pure devotee is like a match. and the recipient the wood. If both are good, then there is fire. And this is quoting Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, when you go to the fire, you become dry, but willfully we put again water. This nonsense business makes us wet. This process is already there, how to become dry. But instead of taking the process, we put water. Then how it will be ignited? The rules and regulations are the drying process. But without following the rules and regulations, if you again become victimized by Maya, then there is water, and again, dry it. So this is going on, watering and drying, watering and drying. Difficulty is that we dry and again water. Vishnujan Maharaj, the tall, charismatic co-leader of Radha Damodar TSKP, who was listening in the background, spoke up for the first time. Srila Prabhupada, how did Chota Haridas achieve perfection by killing himself after apparently pouring water on his devotional creeper by talking to a woman? He was referring to the close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who drowned himself in the Ganga after being rejected by the Lord. Prabhupada's reply was very grave. Quote, his instance was that even an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can fall down, and if one falls down, his punishment is that, suicide. There is no other punishment. He must commit suicide. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Otherwise, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. He cannot fall down. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this instance that even one who is my personal servant, he can fall down. And if anyone, by any cause, he falls down, his punishment is he must commit suicide. This is instruction. Everyone's eyes widened as they took in the statement. Prabhupada elaborated, this fall down, there is possibility in any moment because we are very small. We can be captivated by Maya at any moment. Therefore, we shall be very, very careful. And if you fall down, the punishment is you make suicide. That's all. Then next life, we shall see. So my question is, who's prepared to follow this instruction? Prema, raise his hand. Okay. Anybody else? Mata? Wow. We have some brave souls. Anyway. Yeah, thank you. That's what I just have to say. For the rest of you chickens, don't worry. There's a bit more here. It doesn't end there. Okay. This pastime doesn't end there. Thank God. And then it goes on to say, Vishnujan Maharaj withdrew to the back as the other sannyasis sought clarification. Satsrup mentioned that in the Nectar of Devotion, it says devotional service is so pure that there is no prayaschitta or atonement necessary if one falls down. Just, again, engage in your service. Prabhupada agreed, but said that Chota Haridasa's case was not typical. He was exemplary. He was exemplary punishment that was enacted between him and the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vajrad Api Kotara, harder than a thunderbolt and softer than the rose. Now this is quote. But Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna, if you were as strict as, and then Prabhupada interrupted him and says, no, I am not Chaitanya Prabhu. I am not. Why are you comparing me? I am an ordinary man. Guru Kripa Maharaj brought the exchange to its point, asking the question that was undoubtedly on everyone's mind. So, in ISKCON, if someone falls down, it means that he should commit suicide? Prabhupada's monosyllabic answer couldn't be clearer. No. Guru Das Maharaj laughed. We wouldn't have much of a movement then. Prabhupada clarified. No. If he falls down, that is automatically suicide. If he falls down, that means it is suicide. He got the chance. If he falls down, that is suicide. Spiritual suicide. If one gets the chance of becoming eligible for going back to Godhead, and if he commits mistake and it is stopped, is it not suicide? End quote. Prabhupada and Harisar says, his conclusion was that we should be very strong-minded and continue our devotional service with determination. Okay, so nobody has to commit suicide. But so my question is this, though. It sounds like, though, you know, if somebody... Well, here's my question. What happens? What is the position of somebody who's initiated and doesn't perfectly follow the initiation vows. But it's not a nonsense. You know, that person's very, you know, is not able to perfectly follow, but he's very sincerely engaged in devotional service. So what is the position of that person? Is that person, according to what we've just heard here, in both of these two things, is that person disqualified? Is that person not going to go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime? Because, you know, Prabhupada says if he falls down, that is automatically suicide. If he falls down, that means it is suicide. He's got a chance. If he falls down, that is spiritual suicide. So, you know, it seems to be indicating here that you kind of maybe blown it for this. Well, I mean, this is a genuine question. I've got some thoughts on it, but I'm actually opening this up for discussion to hear from Archita and other senior Vaishnavas. What do they think? The question's clear? Okay.
From Bhagavad Gita, we know Suchinam Srimatangi. If you don't finish the prayer, you're given a chance in a Brahma's family or, you know, Rambi family.
Yeah, that we know.
From the third canto, in this verse, upon Viryasa Sargasya, Parjanasa Prajopati, where it says that it's describing the universal form and that, you know, the seminar of the universal form is what makes sex life possible. So in that purport, Prabhupada says, that if one breaks this vow of not engaging in sex life, then you cannot go back to that. Stated there clearly that you can't break. If you break this vow, then you don't go back to Godhead. But we know there's always the exception of the exceptional mercy of the spiritual that can override everything. That's Kripa Siddhi. The spiritual master or Krishna can award liberation to any somebody even if they're totally not qualified. So that's always there. But that's like wishing for an honorary degree. Generally speaking, if you break this vow, you don't go back to God after, based on that particular report.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one. I think it's in the second canto, probably for her. It's a Brihad Vrata, he refers to it as. Okay, anybody else? Because it's a big, important thing here. Sachid Nirpu. Yeah, I was thinking of that too. But I heard that one. But my understanding of that was that the forgiveness is that you're allowed to, you know, just as Satsu pointed out here, continue on in your devotional service and stay in the association of the devotees. And even that, if you once, twice, and three times after that, Krishna's going to even make an arrangement for you to be removed from that. But I don't know if it's like when I heard that, my impression was, I wasn't clear if that was a total forgiveness, that you could even, you know, make that mistake once, twice, and be completely forgiven, and you're still able to go back to Godhead. So I don't know if that was, you know, how that kind of weighs in on this particular point. Anybody else? Mata, you want to say something? Good. Everybody's clear on the question? You got these promise a time of initiation, and Prabhupada says if we follow that, you're going back to Godhead. What if you don't follow it, but you're a sincere devotee, but you didn't do it, okay?
Thank you for the nice talk. What Sachidananda Prabhu was saying, it just reminded me of the whole pastime of Ajahn, of how he was following and everything, and then he fell down, and then
Sarupabu and then Ganesh and then how are we doing for time? What time is it? Okay, good.
On the other side,
Yeah, Apichat.
Apichat Sura Chula Vajitevam Ananya Bhak. Once you engage in service again, that person is considered to be saved. Just like in our society, practically speaking, we've seen so many difficulties. Unfortunately, Vishnu Chand Maharaj didn't hear the second part of that conversation, and rumor has it that he did take his life at the confluence of the Ganga and Jamuna. But for ourselves, in all honesty, that if we continue engaging in devotional service, even we have difficulty, even we may not be perfect, or that's other verses there that sometimes we don't understand, that if one is full of desire, if one is free from desire, or if one desires liberation, once you engage in devotional service, what's that? Akama sarva kama bhamma shakama dharati. Whatever our situation, pick ourselves up. We're all fallen. One devotee got married in Toronto, and he was a senior devotee. He went to Prabhupada. Is this considered fall down? And Prabhupada said, what is the question of fall down for one who is fallen, for a fallen fellow? In other words, we try to put ourselves forward as all pure devotees. Actually, Prabhupada said that we're all babes in the woods, that we're all monkeys. And Prabhupada was shocked that the consciousness that he was coming to save the people in, and that we're engaged in devotional service, and that we keep engaging in devotional service, that's amazing.
Jai, thank you. Judah Kwan, do you want to say something? Okay. Ganesh Prabhu.
I was considering that there are a multitude of variations that could happen to the soul in this situation. Prabhupada did give a guarantee that if you follow the 4 years chant 16 rounds, you will go back home in this life. Now I was thinking, just like in this material world, when you buy a product, if any of the agreements on the guarantee are broken, no guarantee. So that guarantee is there. But if you fall down, then there's absolutely no guarantee. But you can still get the mercy of the spiritual master, who can say every situation is different. Now, I was also considering that there are accidental fall downs and there are scheduled fall downs. They're not in the same category. And I think that question was also brought up to Srila Prabhupada, and he said something that the devotee comes back, it was accidental. If he doesn't, it wasn't. So.
Okay, go to Chandra. Thank you.
That reminds me of the story of, there's a French devotee who helped Prabhupada to get into the movement, spread the movement really well. And then Srila Prabhupada left the planet. And this devotee, somewhere in the river, I guess he became despondent, where he left the movement. And he went back into, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And some time passed, and he ended up with AIDS in the hospital. And the doctors were near his body and discussing about how long he has to live, maybe a few minutes, a few hours or something. So they were there discussing, and all of a sudden, this devotee, you know, he was like in a conscious state. He sits up and he looks towards the door and says, Prabhupada, you came. And then he fell down and died right there.
Wow.
And so the doctors relate this whole story to the devotees, and they're doing this as well.
Thank you.
Prabhupada really appreciated his service, and Prabhupada came back from it. So that's really nice.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. That's nice. Such a noise. Like to say something.
I have a question for you. The question is, how does these other pastimes will fit into this? The servant of Krishna, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Nigan fell down in the presence of the Lord. He was captured with the deepness.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, the Lord picked him up didn't want him to be servant. But the devotees of the Lord were very compassionate and they engaged him in service. So in one sense he was captured back, but at the same time he didn't really appreciate his, you know, company. He didn't want him close. He said, go away from the place. Then the devotees picked him up. How would you tie that piece together? He's accepted, but at the same time kind of like rejected.
Lord Chaitanya felt some responsibility because, you know, he took him out on the trip in the first place. So, you know, I mean, in the role of a sannyasi, he felt that responsibility. So he rescued him and he brought him back. And when he got him back, then he just said, okay, now, you know, I've done my duty. I've rescued this fellow. He's you know, unsteady mind and he fell into Maya. Now you can, you know, I discharge him from my service. I don't want to have anything further to do with him. So I don't know how they relate to each other. I don't know. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in both situations because, you know, they did engage him again, but Lord Chaitanya didn't engage him. That's, you know, Krishna Das, right? What's his name? The devotees engaged him. But and that pastime of Chotahari Das, did the devotees approach Lord Chaitanya? I can't remember. They did approach Lord Chaitanya on his behalf. And what, didn't they? They made some appeal for him and Lord Chaitanya didn't want to... What? Uh-huh. But while he was still alive, no? They didn't do anything while he was still alive, no? Huh? Uh-huh. But Lord Chaitanya was, he didn't want to know about it, right? Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya was very, but you know, as pointed out by Prabhupada there, these are examples, you know. Lord Chaitanya was using his personal associates to show an example of how strict one has to be in the execution of the devotional service. So, I think I've heard more comment, you know, if I think I heard Prabhupada say on another occasion, if he would have been lenient, then that would have, you know, because there's already a tendency in the material world to be a little bit lenient. So if Lord Chaitanya would have been lenient in those situations, and people would have taken that in generations to come as license to be loose and think it was okay to be, you know, loose in the execution of the devotional service, and that you know, that the Lord will not, you know, overlook that, but so by responding as he did, he's showing an example. No. You have to be very strict. You have to be very careful. Who else? Archana had his hand up. Archana. Microphone back there.
The real thing is to come to the point of actual surrender, whether it's the first time or the, you know, 1 millionth time. Finally, you have to come to that point of full surrender. So you can't see. If you're not at that point, then again you're going to deviate. So, you know, we have to actually just take that, then we have to come to that point where we say, this is it. I'm fully surrendered to you. I want whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever you don't want me to do. I won't do. Not just that I do the things that you say I should do, and then I make up whatever I want to do on top of that. We have to come to that point of full surrender. So whether it's the first time in this lifetime or the 100th time you're trying in this lifetime, you still have to come to that point. We can't cheat. We have to get to that point where the, and Krishna knows that. When you're at that point where you're fully surrendered, then everything prior to that is wiped away. That's the whole point of pure devotional service in the nectar of devotion. Pure devotional service completely eradicates any so-called karma or anything else. It's all wiped out when you get to that point of full purity. So if you're not at that point of full purity, then again you're going to slip. And then the whole conversation becomes moot. Because if you're not ready to go, why should Krishna force you to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mukundada, you had your hand up at some point. Yeah, I'm going to pass the mic over to him.
I had a slightly different question. In the book, today's purport, yesterday's verse also emphasized the immediacy of the Jamil's transfer of the spiritual kingdom. And you've also kind of developed that in your class, that one can go back there immediately, and it's like waking up maybe from a dream. So the question is it possible to do that simply by practicing by the sadhana alone? And not by pre-bhasita.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, somebody's probably going to have to add something to this answer. I would think so. I mean, kripasiddha, yeah, he's an example of, Ajamil is an example of kripasiddha. but why are we practicing Vaidhi Bhakti if it's not, you know, going to be capable of bringing us to that point of where we're eligible or qualified to go back to Godhead? I mean, that's always been my impression that, yeah, as a result of practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, because we have to advance. I don't know, you know, if you're kind of meaning, you know, trying to imply this, you know, distinction between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, but I would think that, yeah, by following the process, we become eligible to, if we progress, if we get purified, then we become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Anybody else? Did you want, do you agree with that, or? Omkar.
Well, just on the point of siddha, I heard a lecture from Prabhupada where he explained that there's three types of siddhas. Siddha means perfection. So there's three types of perfected beings.
Mm-hmm.
There's those that are nitya siddha, meaning that they're eternally perfected. They're beings who came directly from the spiritual world to the material world for a specific purpose. Then there's everyone else. Everyone else can achieve perfection through one of two ways, either sadhana siddha or Kripa Siddha. And Prabhupada said that the point of Sadhana Siddha is to become Nitya Siddha. So once you achieve perfection through Sadhana Siddha, you become a Nitya Siddha devotee. That transition happens. And the primary way is through Sadhana Siddha, namely Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti culminates in Raghunuga Bhakti. That's eventually where it leads. But everyone has to start at Vaidhisattva Bhakti, can't jump straight to Raghunuga. Then Prabhupada says about Kripa Siddha, he says that that's the equivalent, it's just mercy. It's causeless. There's no reason for it other than the mercy of the spiritual master or the mercy of another devotee or directly the mercy of Krishna. And the analogy given is like that of an honorary degree. You know, universities can award an honorary degree to someone who hasn't gone to school at all. You know, the Prabhupada said we can't just wait around expecting some honorary degree. No, we have to work for it. That's why everyone has to engage in Vaidhisattva Bhakti, which culminates in Raghunuga Bhakti. And in that way, attain Sadhana Siddha and become the Siddha.
Okay. Does anybody want to, okay, so I was going to say, anybody want to have the last word? Looks like Sarah does, and that'll be it, I guess.
Just keep in mind that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are not to be ultimate goal is to go back home, back to God. Our goal is to go back home, back to God. Our goal is to be able to do the devotional service forever after earth.
That's there. That's another discussion. We don't have time to embark upon, but yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, looks like we've got to stop there. So thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.